The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's Life Ministry is thousands of people sharing Christ's love and mercy and giving witness to our Lord's creation of life, His design for marriage and the family, and the God-given value of all human life from conception to natural death. Working with many partners, LCMS Life Ministry sponsors human care efforts that meet the needs of body and soul and provides resources and educational events for all ages. To learn more, email lifeministry@lcms.org and visit lcms.org/life.
I think it is safe to say that the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod has dedicated itself as a church body to defending the unborn and to defending life from beginning to end. It's not the only denomination to do that, but among Lutheran denominations, I think it really is a standout. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Tuesday, March the 21st, we're broadcasting from Trinity Lutheran Church in Springfield, Illinois, right on the very edge of the Illinois Right for Life. Joining us to talk about Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's pro-life efforts, Pastor Matt Harrison. He's president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Matt, welcome back.
Hey, Todd, great to be with you, as always.
And Deaconess Tiffany Manor, she's Director of Life Ministries for the LCMS. Deaconess Manor, welcome back to you as well.
That's a blessing to be with you.
Matt, I don't know what previous presidents of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod have done, because my memory doesn't serve me that well, but I know that in your tenure as president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, you have been out front, literally sometimes out front, marching for life, speaking out for life, testifying for life. Why do you do it?
Well, to quote Luther on the Lord's Supper, he said, "Der Text ist zu gewaltig da." The text is just too powerful. And that text for me is the text of Elizabeth greeting Mary and the two babes interchanging obvious greetings, John the Baptizer leaping in the womb for joy at the voice of the mother of his Lord. So that's all the farther I need to read in the Bible, basically. God acknowledges, God creates right from the beginning and knits us together in the womb. It's divine revelation. Secondarily, it's just abortion is irrational. That is, do you know, in the state of Illinois, last Guttmacher Institute statistics, about 50,000 abortions every year in the state of Illinois alone. Imagine all the cities you know, especially downstate, but everywhere, that are 50,000 or less, just disappearing, one every year. 50,000 people. You know, Lincoln, I'm staring at a statue of Lincoln right across the way here in front of the Illinois State Capitol in Springfield. Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation, and he did it because of the inherent value of every single black person as human beings in this country. They struggled under institutionalized racism, legalized racism for hundreds of years. And even after the Emancipation Proclamation came Jim Crow. And it wasn't until the early 60s that the Civil Rights Act eliminated legalized racism in this country. Why did it have to be done? Because of the value of human lives. That's as simple as you can get.
Deaconess Manor, as a woman, why are you pro-life?
Well, as Pastor Harrison was just saying, I mean, God gives value to every human life. He creates life, His ongoing creation of every child in their mother's womb and every person that's ever lived. God created them, and He sent His Son to die for each and every one of them. And of course, the Holy Spirit continued to work through the Word, the sacraments, to transform hearts and the truth would be known by all. So, you know, for me, it's all grounded in Scripture. I've not always been pro-life, and it took others to really point me to Scripture, to what all God has to say about the totality of human life and the whole truth that's contained therein.
So I want to pursue that with you, if we could. You say you haven't always been pro-life. Tell us that story.
Well, I didn't grow up in the church, and so a lot of my understanding and values are informed by the world, right? And the father of lies is really targeting so many children and youth with all kinds of lies. And so that was informative for me in my teen years and young adult years. And it wasn't until an LCMS campus ministry where I really truly was taught. And that transformation that God was working with me took a lot of years. It took a lot of saints coming around me, lovingly challenging me, helping me to see the lies that I had believed for so long.
So, Matt, how would you summarize the priority that the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod puts on the protection of the unborn and the protection of life from beginning to end?
Well, this is God's great created gift. It is the crown, humankind, the crown of creation. Male and female, God's intended creation. Procreation, God's fundamental, continuous creation and act. It's the foundation of eternal life. And so to speak up for those who have no voice, the last, the least, is our absolute duty as Christians, to cherish life, to cherish families as the building block of all rational society, good government, good society, caring for people. These institutions are worth our effort as citizens, and lives are worth our effort to reach out to people and give them what they need physically, and especially in the midst of that, to give people what they need spiritually, to know Jesus, who forgives all sins, even the great and serious ones, and he especially comes for the great and serious ones. So the Missouri Synod has supported that life position for decades. Like many church bodies, it was wobbling in the late 60s on these issues, but has come around strong in the last 40, 50 years and had a unified voice. Voting at our conventions of some 1,200 or 1,300 delegates virtually unanimously on life issues.
Yeah, we made it a priority, mercy work, this mercy work performed in proximity to Word of Sacrament Ministry. So this is every congregation in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is active in pro-life efforts or on their way to being active. But this is a huge priority for us in all of our efforts here in the U.S.
The Missouri Synod has spent hundreds of millions of dollars in mercy care, and it's all a piece. It's caring for people in times of disaster. It's caring for the elderly. It's chaplains to those who are hospitalized. It's caring for and defending the mentally ill or people who suffer developmental disabilities. It's all of one piece, loving our neighbor. Whatsoever you've done to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. And so it all hangs together.
Deacons, we hear often, and more so lately, criticism of the pro-life position, that if you were really pro-life, you would
this,
and there's
that,
a long
the other
list
thing.
Of things.
Yeah.
The implicit accusation is that pro-lifers care only for the unborn before birth, and then after that they don't. Is that true?
Oh, it's absolutely false. You know, we just heard a sermon in the matin service, and District President Michael Moore, you know, was really emphasizing that it's not just about the unborn baby. We do care for those babies. They are needing protection. They need legal protections in our society. But yeah, Lutherans and the pro-life movement, I mean, we're caring for women. We're caring for the other siblings of the unborn child, the fathers, this whole precious family that God has designed it. And so coming alongside these women with their children and Lutherans, you know, as Pastor Harrison was saying, you know, the mercy work that we do and the millions of dollars we poured out most recently in the Million Dollar Life Match to support these women in the early vulnerable situations as life is beginning and they're afraid and need resources to care for their children.
We also have a persuasive task ahead of us, Matt. I don't think the Missouri Synod is atypical of the general population. The general population shows kind of steady support for abortion in some form or another. It's debatable which polls to believe, but we're talking about pretty consistent 50% of the U.S. population. And that means there are Missouri Synod members in that 50%. How do we lovingly persuade them?
Well, it behooves us to know the issue very well, to know what's going on. There's a great book, Abortion in the Early Church by Gorman. I highly recommend it. It's a pamphlet is put out by Wiffenstock, but to know what the issue of abortion was in the earliest church, what it was to the Old Testament, what it was to the Jewish rabbis, what it was to the ancient philosophers, know what it was to the early church fathers, especially Tertullian before he went on a more heretical road, but absolutely defends the life of the unborn and argues eloquently. So does Ambrose, so does Augustine. The church does it in a unified sense right from the earliest times. It's part and parcel of what we believe in the New Testament. And so I guess it's just a constant matter of preaching the facts, lovingly preaching, and also informing our people on what the realities are. You know, so many of our people now are disconnected from rural circumstances. I remember my first parish, I went out to see a milking operation very early on, the Decker farm, and they asked me if I wanted help with birthing of calf, and went over there, and sure enough, they reached in and I helped and we pulled out a calf. And you know, I hadn't seen the birth of my own children at that point. Hadn't grown up on a farm. I've been a farming family, but that was the first time I'd ever. And all of a sudden I realized, by golly, that was a calf in there completely. And just then I realized up. Why rural people are naturally pro-life. The thought of dismembering a child in the womb, and an innocent child, just because the child has come at a time inconvenient. It's just astonishing to me that we as a culture and a society have come to defend this.
Pastor Matt Harrison is president of the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod, along with Deaconess Tiffany Manner, director of life ministries for the LCMS. We're talking about Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod pro-life efforts on this Tuesday, March the 21st, broadcasting from the Illinois March for Life at Trinity Lutheran Church and School in Springfield, Illinois. When we come back, well, how do we respond to someone who says that preaching and teaching on abortion is political?
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we dig further into St. Luke's Gospel with Like Days of Noah and Lot, The Persistent Widow, Pharisee and Tax Collector, Blessing the Children, and Rich Young Ruler. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Do you know the fastest growing religious group in the United States? Is it Roman Catholics? Nope. It's not Protestants either. Rather, it's those who mark none on religion's preference surveys. They don't belong to any particular denomination. They still believe in some sort of spiritual being and reality, but they don't believe and don't claim adherence to any particular religious group. The March issue of the Lutheran Witness picks up the question of the nuns. To learn more, visit witness.lcms.org. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Solid. Serious. Substantive. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Luther Academy provides additional theological education for our mission partners around the world, specifically pastors who are asking for additional education but do not have the necessary resources in their own church bodies. By donating to Luther Academy today, you will be supplying food, housing, books, professors, and travel for Lutheran pastors who attend our conferences. To learn more about Luther Academy and how you can donate today, visit lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com.
Many educational institutions are governed by the whims of culture and are increasingly hostile to the Word of God. In contrast, Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas, provides classical Lutheran education rooted in God's Word for students preschool through grade 12. Simply put, we equip students to stand firm in the faith through solid education focused on wisdom and virtue. We offer in-person instruction as well as live online classes for remote learning. To learn more, visit flsplano.org, flsplano.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're broadcasting from the Illinois March for Life at Trinity Lutheran Church and School in Springfield, Illinois. We're talking about Lutheran Church Missouri Synod Pro-Life Efforts with Pastor Matt Harrison, President of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and Deaconess Tiffany Manor, Director of Life Ministries for the LCMS. Matt, how would you respond to someone who says that our church should avoid preaching and teaching about abortion because it's a political issue?
Well, Jesus says, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's and unto God, God what is God's. The prophets preach often in the Old Testament, along with the Torah and the books of Moses, that we are to love justice and mercy and to do it as we live. Look, in the 30s, Aboriginals in Central Australia, who included a large number of Lutherans, were being shot. They had no legal protections whatsoever. So you know what happened? The German Lutherans, who were missionaries there, stood up and said, this is wrong to the state. You shouldn't be able to shoot native peoples with no consequence. It's a terrible injustice. It is against natural, rational law, and it's against the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill. When, under Nazi times, the too few but many Orthodox Lutherans stood up and fought against Hitler and the Hitler regime and spoke courageously against, especially the Aryan paragraph like Hermann Zasa. And there were plenty of people saying, oh, you shouldn't say anything, it's political. Well, justice demands that Christians step forward and act. In this country, when you had legalized racism for generations, it demanded rational people to step forward and say no. So, yes, Christians live both in the civil and in the private religious spheres, but convictions must translate into action in the public sphere if they are in fact true convictions for the sake of righteousness and justice and also speaking Christ in the midst. Deaconess, you mentioned something before the break, a $1 million match. What is that?
So for the past couple of years, President Harrison actually announced this, initiated this himself. We've challenged our congregations who've always been engaged in pro-life work and caring for women, supporting them through difficult circumstances. But we've encouraged our congregations to do even more, really since the time of the Texas state law that changed how the citizens of that state could engage with those who provide abortion. And so in late 2021, we announced this, and in 2022 and 2023, we've been awarding grants, matching grants to congregations of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and they have been caring for women and children and families throughout the country. Over, at this point, I think 100 congregations have received awards. We're making awards this week. It'll be up to about, I think, $780,000 of that $1 million life match awarded. And there's still time to get involved. There's another phase coming up. Applications are opening.
So I'm curious about the place of crisis pregnancy centers in that plan, what congregations are specifically doing to support crisis or even perhaps to run.
Yeah, there are a lot of collaborations going on with our congregations and crisis pregnancy centers or pregnancy resource centers, as we more commonly refer to them now, even to pregnancy clinics. So congregations will partner, they talk to the local center or clinic and find out, you know, what is it that's most needed in our community. That's the beauty of this. It's a very localized response in, you know, proximity to the congregation. What is it that's needed here? How can the people of God share Christ's love with these women, these children? So at times it's been buying ultrasound machines. At times it's been training volunteers to directly care for and interact with these women. It's opening new maternity homes where women can live for a couple of years to help get established in their families. So there's been support for foster and adoption services where foster families come to congregations and they're provided with meals and opportunities to be supported by the Lutherans and the congregations. It's been really some great projects. You can find out more on our website.
It strikes me, Matt, that this is an excellent way for us to do as Missouri Synod Lutherans kind of true ecumenism, cooperation in externals, while we maintain the importance of our doctrinal differences with other Christians.
Exactly. Today in Springfield, as we sit here in front of the Capitol building, where in the last decade, virtually all, this used to be a pro-life state that had a trigger law that when Roe fell, abortion would be illegal in the state. But over the last 10 years, both Republican and Democrat governors and legislatures have dismantled all of those laws and made it now the capital of abortion in the Midwest. And they're trying to push through a law right now, which is a violation of the First Amendment, so that every person who goes to a pro-life crisis pregnancy center is mandated to, under threat of a $50,000 fine, to be told about where the nearest abortion opportunities are. So we're cooperating with the Roman Catholics, who are good friends on the life issues, and many others that come out to these. Not too many evangelicals or other Protestants come out to these events. It always makes me scratch my head. But we have a growing contingent of Missouri Synod people who come out and see that we can stand exactly for our doctrine and our teachings. We can rejoice where we have unity with others and agreement on things, and yet be exactly who we are and faithful to who we are, and be appreciated greatly for it.
So if someone says to you, Tiffany, we want to become more active as a congregation, we want to do something, where do we begin?
Yeah, you begin locally. You begin by assessing what's happening in your community and figuring out what is needed. And it's so easy to do that. It's just having conversations with the leaders. It could be the mayor, other town representatives. It could be checking with medical providers, social service agencies, what's needed here and what's not happening. And it can also be as easy as doing a Google search and finding out what pregnancy supports there are. And then we can step in to the gaps there. We don't need to duplicate work. This is, the cooperating externals. We're not going to try and do something that is already being done, but come alongside brothers and sisters in Christ and figure out what is needed and what we have gifts to do as a congregation, because each congregation has so many members with a variety of gifts and abilities and passions and desires. So it's just a matter of finding what the needs are and matching up what that congregation can do.
Matt, we live in a post-Roe United States now, and hopefully it will stay that way. But that means that some people are going to be more challenged. Some congregations are going to be more challenged than others. You speak about Illinois, just across the river from where we usually broadcast. Missouri has just again and again and again shown itself to be more and more pro-life as times go on. So congregations that are in Missouri may not have as big of a challenge as the deep blue states like Illinois. What are your thoughts there?
It's always been that way. There's a terrible plague in Carthage, North Africa. The great Saint Cyprian preached and motivated his people to care for the needy and even to bury the pagan dead, care for the pagans who were suffering illness in the name of Christ. And it was a huge, huge witness that made a tremendous difference in North Africa for Christianity. Christians in the earliest church bore witness to the value of children by rescuing mostly female babies who had been left out to be exposed to the elements and killed. Today, by the way, majority of aborted infants are women all over the globe. There's a growing disparity between young men and numbers of men and women because of this. This is our day. This is our plague. This is our time. Christians in the ancient world witnessed for hundreds of years in the face of political opposition. So be it. It's our time to bear witness to Christ, to love. And we're not angry. We're motivated. We love people. We love children. We love mothers. We love sinners. We welcome sinners. Jesus welcomes sinners, and he eats with them. The Pharisees grumbled. That's what we do. It's why we're here, to share Christ and his love.
Deaconess Manna, your final thoughts here with about 30 seconds on that very subject.
Yeah, so this is not a state-by-state issue. We don't have some states back off and others are more active. Every state that is already pro-life, as you described Missouri, still needs to remain vigilant. And there's been bills introduced in Missouri. This is happening all across the country. We all stand together with our states. We cross state borders as needed, as I've done today, coming from Missouri to Illinois. But we work together on this, as President Harrison was just saying. Every state battle to make abortion illegal is actually a national battle still.
Deaconess Tiffany Manners, Director of Life Ministries for the LCMS. Deaconess, thank you.
Thanks for having us on.
Pastor Matt Harrison is president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Matt, thank you very much.
Thanks for coming up on this cold, windy day, but it's been a lot colder in Chicago in the past.
You can learn more about LCMS Life Ministry at lcms.org/life. Advocating, educating, and caring for all human life, lcms.org/life. When we come back, we're going to be spending some time in the second hour of the program with Pastor Tim Scharr, president of the Southern Illinois District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, Pastor Michael Moore, LCMS Central Illinois District president. A little bit later, Pastor Mark Serberg will join us, along with Dr. Kirk Clayton. We'll be discussing local efforts for defense of the unborn. We'll be talking about Roman Catholic pro-life efforts with Bishop Thomas John Paprocki. He's Bishop of the Archdiocese of Springfield, Illinois. When we come back, we'll be talking with Pastor Tim Scharr and Michael Moore.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Trinity Orchard Farm is settled between two rivers, showing the way to the water of life. For worship that is reverent, relevant, and refreshing like pure water, or for excellent education in a unique setting, check out our church and school. We're just 5 miles north of Highway 370 on Highway 94 in St. Charles County. Visit us on the web at trinityorchardfarm.com. That's trinityorchardfarm.com. Our phone number is 636-250-3350.
Listen to chapel services live weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Morning chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.